You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Mossa.
May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus.
Let us pray. O God, who in this wonderful sacrament of the Eucharist have left us a memorial of your passion, grant us, we pray, so to revere the sacred mysteries of your body and blood, that we may always experience in ourselves the fruits of your redemption. Who live and reign with God the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen. Hello and good evening. We are Mary Angela and
Nick.
We are your program hosts, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy. So happy, as always, to be with you this evening. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much. So we welcome everyone listening in to our broadcast from your devices at home, be it your phone, your tablet, your computers. To everyone, especially at our parish from All Saints, a big thank you to the listeners in Toronto, the rest of Canada, and around the world. And for the third month, we are pre-recording this show from the safety from where we live. Mary Angela, what is our mission statement? Why are we here?
Yeah, our mission statement is the same as always. We want to spread the good news of the gospel, sharing with you all the joy of our faith.
So true. So we will start the evening with, as usual, our intentions. So the first intention is whatever your intentions are.
Yeah.
So even though we can't hear you, know that we are praying for you and your intentions. Secondly, all the health workers dealing with the COVID crisis, from the doctors, the nurses, to the medical staff.
They've been working very hard.
To all the seniors who have passed away in the homes, you know, long-term care, to the people of special needs who, you know, like everyone else are dealing with this. We pray for them. We pray for strength and courage for everyone
in around the world,
our society, to, you know, for strength and courage to get through this COVID crisis. And we pray for peace. Peace begins at home. So we start at home. We pray for our country, Canada, the unrest in the United States, and the global pandemic around the world. We also pray for our leaders, that they be guided with the love and mercy of Jesus. So, what is this show
about tonight? Yes, what is it about?
Well, the main topic is Corpus Christi.
Yeah, right? We're in the month of June, so we thought this would be an appropriate topic. Yeah.
So tonight, what we'll do, we'll break it down in three parts. The main thing are health matters, and the three parts will be spirit, body, and mental health. Mental health, wellness, sorry. The first part is the spirit.
Yeah, and Corpus, because we're talking about Corpus Christi, it's all about the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord.
Yeah, that's the first part. The second part is our body / physical health. And a big part of that is our diet. And we're going to show incorporated a 5-minute segment with a good friend of ours, Jane. She's a parishioner at All Saints, and she'll explain to you what the Mediterranean diet is. And we will segue into what did Jesus eat, because Jesus is from the Mediterranean.
And the last part will be about the mind. And so we'll talk a little bit about how to keep our mental health,
strong. Especially
yeah.
now with this COVID, right? Mm-hmm. It can bring a lot of heavy stress.
Mm-hmm.
But if we follow the path of Jesus, we're in good hands, right?
Indeed.
So the fact is, we're here for only an hour, and it's only so much time to be with you guys. So what we're going to do, we'll be sharing, you know, many thoughts, prayers, and words to inspire you. So as mentioned, many things will be reflected. So pick one. You don't have to, you know, grab them all. One of the main topics or phrases I think is very important if you take away from this evening is the phrase that comes what Corpus Christi / the Eucharist is. It is the source and summit of our faith.
So amen.
So remember that, the source and the summit. So we begin the first part on Corpus Christi.
So what is it all about? And so the Corpus Christi is Latin, in Latin, and it translates to the body of Christ. So this coming Sunday, June 14th, we'll be celebrating the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ. It's also known as Corpus Christi. And where the solemnity is not observed as a holy day, it's assigned to the Sunday after Trinity Sunday, which we just celebrated this past Sunday, June 7th. And it's a unique feast. And in what way is it unique? Well, it honors the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And it's one of the few celebrations that we do not commemorate an event in the life of Jesus or Mary, but instead it is dedicated to the fundamental principle of our faith, Catholicism. It's Jesus' sacramental presence in the consecrated bread and wine. So his real presence in the bread and wine. And so this is also one of the few feasts that were promoted by lay people and only then later adopted by the Universal Church. And our understanding is that it started back in the 13th century by Juliana of Liege. And she was an Orbitine canoness. She longed for a feast day outside of Lent to honor the Eucharist. So after receiving several visions of Christ, she petitioned her bishop to institute the day, which eventually spread to nearby cities and towns. And so then eventually in 1264, Pope Urban the fourth declared Corpus Christi as a feast day throughout the entire Latin Rite. And this was the very first papal sanctioned universal feast in the history of the Latin Rite.
Yeah, wow. Thank you, Marianja. That was a lot. And I encourage you guys to do a little bit of research on the Corpus Christi. So as mentioned, we only have so much time. And we're going to hit some very important topics. An important book we should all have, first and foremost, is the Bible. Mm-hmm. Secondly, it should be the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And it states in 1324, the Eucharist, as mentioned, is the source and the summit of the Christian life. The other sacraments, and indeed all church ministries and works, are bound up with the Eucharist and are oriented toward it. For in the Blessed Eucharist is contained the whole spiritual good of the church, namely Christ himself.
Yeah, and the catechist is actually kind of like the Bible of our faith, yeah. isn't it? Like, it's like the guidelines of our yeah. Catholic faith.
So with that statement, right, I think we can basically end the show.
Yeah.
Right? There it is in a nutshell. Right?
That's what it's all about.
The Church, namely, is all about Christ in the Eucharist. And so it's so beautiful, right, that, you know, we take the host every time we go to Mass. And do we really know what we're taking, right? It's important that we know a little bit of the history of the Eucharist and the body, blood, the soul, and divinity.
And not only in Corpus Christi feast day do we celebrate or focus on the actual presence of Christ, but it's also on Holy Thursday, right?
Yeah,
the Thursday. But this is an additional feast day to celebrate and to focus on the real presence of Jesus in the body and blood, within the Eucharist.
So everyone loves a parade. Well, in this case, I think it's everyone loves a procession. So this Sunday's observance highlights the joyous aspect of the Holy Thursday. The Eucharistic exposition and benediction are common devotion practices in many places around the world, as are the Eucharistic processions along many streets. All Saints usually holds a procession along the neighboring streets. It's very powerful to see Father Andre carrying the monstrance around the streets in Etobicoke. And hopefully that will be the case this year. We can work around it, even though, the church is closed, right? And we pray that eventually and hopefully soon that the churches will be open.
And so the feast day of Corpus Christi always includes usually a procession, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so what is the feast and its objectives? Well, the Feast of Corpus Christi, in fact, is three feasts in one. It's the Feast of the Eucharistic Sacrifice, the Feast of the Sacrament of the Eucharist, and the Feast of the Real Presence of Jesus in the Sacrament. Also, Corpus Christi is a feast that establishes three purposes. It's to give God collective thanks for his abiding presence with us in the Eucharist and to honor him there. Secondly,
to instruct the people in the mystery, faith, and devotion surrounding the Eucharist.
And number three, it's to teach us to appreciate and make use of the great gift of the Holy Eucharist, both as a sacrament and a sacrifice.
So there the theological significance. Vatican II states that as a sacrifice, the Holy Eucharist is the center and culmination of the Christian life. And there's four points here. The first one being it enables us to participate in Christ's sacrifice as a present reality and to benefit from its fruits in our own lives. It helps us to worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the most perfect way.
Point number three is because it strengthens our charity and unity with Jesus, with each other, in a joint and offering of his body and blood to the Father. And finally, it gives us a lasting memorial of Christ's suffering and death and resurrection, reminding us of our obligation to make loving sacrifices for ourselves, for others. The Eucharist is the mystery of our faith, the mystery of our hope, and the mystery of our charity. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, and speaking of the Eucharist, St. Augustine calls it various names, the first being the Eucharist, because Jesus offered himself to God the Father as an act of thanksgiving. The Lord's Supper, or breaking of bread, because we celebrate it as a meal.
Holy Communion, because he also called it Holy Communion because we became one with Christ by receiving him. And it's called the Holy Mass because it gives us a mission And what do we always hear at the end of Mass? To go in peace, glorifying God by your life.
Yeah. And so we never leave church. We're sent out to do exactly that, what you said, Mary Angela. Mm-hmm. And especially in these days where we're challenged, you know, there's so much stress and negativity out there, right? It's easy to give up, but we need to defend our faith. And Jesus never abandons us. And it's very hard because most of us aren't able to receive the Eucharist. There's some
now a bit now.
There's some Latin Rite churches where I think you're able to receive the Eucharist, and you know, but you know, you really, really feel something lacking when, especially, the Eucharist is taken away. Now there are, even though you can't physically take it, we see it at Mass, mm-hmm. and there's a special spiritual prayer said when you know, some of the lucky few do receive it. And but we can also spend time in adoration. You know, our mm-hmm. parish, we're very lucky. Every Friday between 3 and 6, the monstrance is placed on the altar where we can have, you know,
live stream. That's, yeah.
And we can have our own private time.
Prayer, yeah.
You know, with Jesus, you know, in the Eucharist, right? In adoration.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's challenging, but you know what? We're going to stand up to this challenge, and, you know, it will end. On a good note. So.
For sure. We may not feel that it's ending, but it will end. Yeah.
So there's some life messages in this. So what are a few of them, Mary Angela?
Okay, number one is we need to receive this message of unity and sacrificial love. The Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, teaches us the importance of community, the bond that results from the sacrifice. So it's all about community, because we receive it in community, don't we?
Yeah, and communion, you know, the community, you know, there is a connection.
Yeah,
right?
that's what we I think, one of the things we miss the most is the community, right? We also need to prepare properly to receive Holy Communion. We are often tarnished by God's image within us through acts of impurity, injustice, disobedience. And so there's always a need for repentance. So we should always go to confession before receiving the Holy Community with a clean heart. And finally, we need to become Christ bearers and conveyors. So by receiving Holy Communion, we become just like him, Christ bearers, just as like Mary was, with the duty of conveying Christ to others at home and in the workplace as love, mercy, forgiveness, and humble and sacrificial service.
There's a short story of Father Tang, the courageous Chinese archbishop, after spending 5 years in solitary confinement in a windowless, damp cell. He was told by jailers that he could leave and walk around for a couple hours. He could drink anything he wants. And after 5 years of solidarity, they said, "Well, what do you want? You even want a hot shower?" The first thing he says, "I want to celebrate Mass with the Eucharist and be with Jesus." Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
And there's many, many stories of the saints that gave up their lives for the Eucharist, right?
And may we all yearn, just like he did, to receive the Eucharist.
So, as mentioned, we encourage you to pick up the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and just going to share with you a few points. On 1322, the Holy Eucharist completes the Christian initiation. At the Last Supper, on the night he was betrayed, our Savior instituted the Eucharist, the Eucharistic sacrifice of his body and blood. And as mentioned before, our favorite statement for this evening, the Eucharist is the source and the summit. Finally, by the Eucharistic celebration, we already unite ourselves with the heavenly liturgy and anticipate eternal life when God will be, when we will be with God. That's our hope, salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So So we shared with you, you just scratched little the surface.
Snippets of thoughts of, and reflections.
Corpus Christi, yeah. Right? And again, as Marin just said, it is the body, blood, soul, and divinity. And, when we recite the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, which we, encourage you, pray the rosary, but also include the chaplet is very powerful, talking about Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity. So right now we are going to take a break, but before we do that, we're just going to introduce the the next topic is about our body. Body / physical health, and most importantly is the diet. So a good friend of ours, Jane Meehan from All Saints.
She's a nutritionist.
She's a nutritionist. And if you have any questions you would like to ask her, please feel free to reach her through me at my email, nick.mossa, M-O-S-S-A, @bellnet.ca.
Or you could also reach out directly to her. I believe she gives information.
So grab a pen and paper because she will share with you her information. What she's going to do is talk about the Mediterranean diet. And guess where Jesus was from? The Mediterranean.
Yes.
So this fits perfect into our topic this evening. And we present to you our good friend, Jane.
Hi, this is Jane Meehan. I'm a registered dietitian working at Woodbridge Rehabilitation Center at 4600 Highway 7 in Vaughan. It's owned and operated by Dr. Joseph Oliva. I'm a part of a healthcare team of chiropractors and a physiotherapist whose goals are to educate, to improve physical well-being through rehabilitation, reduce pain and inflammation, reinforce good health habits, to ultimately improve one's quality of life. Learning to eat a healthful diet is an important part of a wellness plan. I connected with Nick and Mary Angela at a talk that I gave at our parish All Saints Church in Etobicoke a year ago. The topic was the Mediterranean diet or Medi diet and how it offers positive benefits on physical and mental health. They've asked me to speak a bit about this topic here. During this time of pandemic, we are all becoming more mindful of what we put into our mouths and how we can better maintain good health and well-being for ourselves as well as for our family members. So what are the health benefits of the Medi diet, or why should we follow it? Nutrition researchers have developed a Medi diet screening tool consisting of 14 yes or no questions about one's eating habits. And it's been shown that if you can raise your score by 2 points, that this is linked to improved health, lower death rates, and reduced risk of cancer, to name a few. In fact, higher Medi diet scores are associated with a 32% reduced risk of depression. This is a very important point during this time to help our family members and friends in our communities who are suffering from this. The Medi diet is really an anti-inflammatory diet. Family healthcare teams are using this tool, and if a score is less than 9 for a patient, then the patient is referred to a dietitian. The Canadian Cardiovascular Society recommends that everybody follows the Medi diet. It can lower the risk of cardiovascular events, heart attacks, and strokes by 28-30%. This does not mean that you should stop taking your prescribed meds. The Medi diet also lowers the incidence of diabetes by 58%. Yes, food can heal your body. So what does one eat on the Medi diet? It's plant-based, but not meat-free. Just smaller, less frequent servings of meat per week. The Western diet is an inflammatory diet, and more plants in your diet is anti-inflammatory. So namely, eat no more than 2 servings of meat per week, each 4 ounces or less, because saturated fat is inflammatory and clogs arteries. More fish is recommended, 3 or more servings per week. We need to eat more fruits and veggies, more than 4 servings of each per day is recommended. Whole grains are very important for many reasons. They provide excellent energy and fiber. That is food for the good bacteria in our intestines. That improves immunity. Very important. They also provide the 17 B vitamins necessary for good health, including mental health. So yes, you should be eating your pasta, but try to include the whole grain pasta that has more fiber. Use extra virgin olive oil, as this is in all the research studies and shown to decrease inflammation. And just a point here, the Medi diet has been around from the 1990s, but it was anecdotal then, and it was Uncle Giuseppe just never had heart disease, but we didn't know why. Well, now we know. We have over 700 research models under our belt, and we know the benefits. It lowers bad cholesterol, protects the good cholesterol. And we would like you to also lower your added sugar consumption to less than 25 grams per day, as sugar is also inflammatory. There are many points to make about how to eat, and I have to be brief here. I provide, as a dietitian, personalized advice based on a client's health concerns, as well as providing reliable nutrition information. If any of the listeners would like to get in touch with me, either for a virtual or in-person nutrition counseling session to discover your Medi diet scores, to improve your eating habits and overall health, then it would be my pleasure to assist. Please call 905-856-4444. No referrals are required. And as of May 27th this year, I'm allowed to return to non-essential in-person care. So Jesus did not eat processed junk food, and he walked a lot. So try to reduce your sugar intake, salt, saturated fats. Use a moderate amount of alcohol if allowed by your doctor. Be physically active. Try to reach and maintain a recommended weight range. Stay safe, eat well, be well, and thank you for listening.
And so there you have it. Jane explained to you in a nutshell all about the Mediterranean diet. And as she said, we met her through the parish, and she presented an evening to us, the Mediterranean diet. Yeah, we found eating, it very helpful. Yeah,
about eating healthy. And we continue to stay in touch and continue the Mediterranean diet. Sometimes it's hard. But a big thing in regards to, you know, we can call it a lifestyle change, right? Because yeah, a lot of us don't like that word diet, right? But
and I think we've always really have eaten the Mediterranean and eaten healthy, but it's all about, you know, the portions and the choosing of the, you know, including, making sure we include our fruits, our vegetables, our, you know.
Yeah, more plant-based.
Grains. Yeah. Yeah.
More plant-based. And yes, there is meat, you know, you're allowed to eat meat 2 times a week. But the main thing is to, you know, make sure you eat the right portion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important, you know, to eat right. It's also very important to sleep right, right? To get your proper sleep. It's also very important to exercise. And thirdly, it's also very important to pray and ask our Lord Jesus Christ for the courage and the strength to go through this, because it's very hard. You know, sometimes a lot of us use food as a crutch, or food as a comfort, mm-hmm. or food as a treat. You know, life is a celebration, right? But there has to be
a balance.
A good balance, yeah. There has to be a good balance. And you can eat. And the Sundays are usually the days where, you know, we're allowed that extra, because Sunday is the day of the Lord, right? It's every Sunday is a mini Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Easter, Jesus was from the Mediterranean. Right? And so what we'd like to share with
what
you...
What did he eat,
mm-hmm. right? And we have a whole bunch of things that we'll just, you know, we'll do shortly about what did Jesus eat. And the first one, and we can say we had this, was the St. Peter's fish. I think it was a tilapia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we actually had it when we were...
At the Sea of Galilee.
I think we were closer to Mount Tabor, where we went up the mountain and then we came back.
Well, it was in the same region.
As our reward for coming down safely, we were able to have the St. Peter's fish. Secondly, what did Jesus eat? Well, he ate a lot of bread. is probably unleavened bread, right?
And whole grain bread. Whole grain bread. That's the most important thing, that it was whole grain.
Fresh bread, right? Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, Corpus Christi, Jesus is the bread of life. So not only did he come to earth, he left us, you know, with that. So every time we go to Mass, we take communion, and that's Jesus who is the bread of life. Mm-hmm. Here's something interesting. Pistachios.
Who doesn't like pistachios? Yeah.
There's a lot of these foods are actually mentioned in the Bible, a lot of them in their Old Testament, like pistachios are mentioned in Genesis 43:11. So keep pistachios in mind. They're good for you. But try not to get the ones that are salted. Just get the plain one.
Yeah, like, and only eat a few nuts because, you know, they're high in fat. So just be careful of that.
So a few are good, right? Mm-hmm. Another food that Jesus would eat are almonds. You know, almonds are high in, they're good for protein, and they have many antioxidants in them, right? So sometimes you can't, you know, if there's, if you want a good snack, you know, go for almonds. And there's also a lot of fiber in them. Another food that comes from the Mediterranean is...
Another nut is walnuts. Yeah, and we find that it's mentioned in the Song of Songs.
I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard this story that the walnut is the size of... It looks like a mini brain. So if you want to increase brain capacity, go for walnuts.
And it's high in omegas, so that's really good for you.
Yeah. And the best ones are the freshly cracked ones, mm-hmm. right? When you have, things that are good take a while. So take the time and crack some fresh walnuts.
Also a big part of the Mediterranean diet is?
Garlic.
Yes, garlic.
Garlic, yes.
Part of good Italian food, too. Yeah.
And it wards off many vampires, right? So... Not only does it taste good, it wards off evil. And it is also mentioned a few times in the Old Testament. Some other things are mustard. You know, the story of Jesus, the well-known parable, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that birds come and perch in its branches. Interesting. Another thing are
spices.
Spices like cumin, frankincense, and myrrh.
Yeah.
Another thing when we were in the Holy Land, we noticed bananas. There was a lot of bananas because it is like being in the Caribbean. Right? There's a lot of bananas, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, pineapples, right? Well, with palm trees, you're going to get coconuts. So, for sure, you know, there's a lot of coconuts, you know.
Who cannot forget the olives, yes, right? We saw a lot of beautiful, like, olive oil, really green.
Green. We've seen the olive trees, and some of them date back 2,000 to 3,000 years. It was quite incredible. You know, who doesn't like olive oil on their salad, when they cook? But again, all things in moderation, because it can be high in calories and fat, but you know if you do the right amount, it just makes that meal or your salad taste perfect, right?
And a good part of Mediterranean diet is also including legumes, such as lentils, broad beans, chickpeas, and they're all so really good for you. And you can put them in soups and stews and, make them into pastes like, what is it called? From chickpeas, hummus. Yeah. Hummus. So delicious. So delicious.
The root word is hummus, humus, it's from the ground, right? Mm-hmm. Like to stay humble, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of these foods are mentioned in the Bible. They have biblical connections, right? How about lamb? The lamb, right?
Yum. This is grilled lamb. Well, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, this is what Jesus had, his Passover meal, right? And, you know, I'm sure he had lamb many times growing up. when he was a young man. Another thing are pomegranates.
Yeah, the now, seeds.
We were in the Holy Land, and I remember that there was a lot of stands. You know, over here there's hot dog stands, right? In Italy, they have nuts and olive stands.
And chestnuts.
Chestnuts.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But I remember being in Jerusalem, there was a lot of vendors selling fresh pomegranate. I remember one
time. The juice, right?
Yeah, the juice. They would squeeze it right in front of you. Mm-hmm. I remember one time being with Father Andre. The streets were so packed. He said to me, Nick, let's just go for a walk and let's get some fresh juice. And to this day, I remember how fresh and, you know, life-giving, you know, that this is. And again, these are all foods you can find in the Mediterranean diet or in the Mediterranean region. Another thing are...
Yeah, let's not forget the figs, right?
Yeah.
The dried figs, delicious.
People eat them in the morning.
Yeah. Actually, I think, did we often see it at the breakfast time?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, this is odd. You know, here we have like bacon and eggs, the Western world. But, you know, in Europe or in the Mediterranean, you have fresh fruit and
figs. And also dates. Were also there.
Dates are very good. They're good.
And they're loaded. Yeah, both figs and dates are loaded with fiber.
I recall being in Jericho, we had some fresh dates and they were out of this world. So, and as a sidebar, we mentioned a lot of foods that Jesus would eat, right? Yes, Marinja.
Yeah, I just want to say that, one of the really good recipes that Jane supplied us with is this chocolate pudding, and it's sweetened with dates.
Dates, and it's guilt-free.
Delicious.
It's guilt-free. So you can have it, and you think you're eating this rich chocolate pudding, but in the end, you're eating something very healthy.
High in fiber.
Yeah, so there are a lot of good healthy options. You know, if we do our research... And just plan it out. There's a lot of good things we can eat that are not heavy, they're cost effective, and they're good for our health. And just one thing, those are some of the things that Jesus ate. There's many, many more. But we also want to add, I'm sure he had a little bit of wine.
Oh, yes.
You know, especially at the feast in Cana.
Yes.
Right, when he turned the water into wine.
And it was the best wine.
The best wine, right? Not at the beginning of the meal, but at the end of the meal. Right? So Jesus, you know, he...
Saved the best for last.
Saved the best for last. So we're just hopefully, you know, we shared some... we gave you some ideas and thoughts on the Mediterranean options in your diet. And right now,
we'll take
a little short break and we will close off with the mental health part of our show. Thank you.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mariangela Artuso and Nick Massa.
So the last part of this evening's show, we will be looking at our mental health. And the quickest way to boost or get a good positive sense is our short little prayers. And in this case, they are affirmations. And we'd like to share with you some of them. They are, I am healthy, I am strong, I am blessed, I am ready to help, I am patient, I am growing, I am okay, I am hopeful.
I am grateful, I am open, I am focused, I am positive, I am courageous, I am protected, I am tolerant, I am enthusiastic.
With Jesus, I will endure. I will go back to work. I will overcome. I will help. I will laugh. I will heal. I will pray more. I will spread joy. I will forgive. I will let go.
I will start fresh. I will smile. I will reach out. I will survive. I will read the Bible. I will ask for help. I will triumph. I will be victorious in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So whenever you feel that you're going through a hard time, always turn to Jesus. And we shared with you some short, powerful reflections, right? That, you know, we need to, it's kind of like a mental exercise, right? For our minds, right? You know, sometimes we're so on the go and our lives are so filled, you know, with all good things, right? You know, we're taking care of our families, we're taking care of our children, we're taking care of people at work, where we can get really drained.
Right. Yeah, and so we have to always remember to take care of ourselves, and in particular our mental health too. Yeah. That's so important.
Our mental, yeah, especially now with this COVID, right? Mm-hmm. Just like 3 months ago.
Very draining.
Yeah, 3 months ago, everything was normal. Mm-hmm. Now, everything is abnormal.
Doesn't it seem so far long ago?
And the question is, we all want to go back to normal, but do we really want to go back? Maybe let's go back to the usual, right?
Yeah, what is normal anyways? Yeah.
And so now many things have changed.
And our routine has changed, and our own routine has changed too, hasn't it?
Yeah,
from, so, you know, pre-COVID to then
during COVID.
During COVID, when you were off.
Yeah, I was off for 7 weeks.
Yeah, we created a new routine, and then now you're back at work, so now there's another new routine.
Yeah, there's another.
So it's continually changing.
Yeah. Now, change. The only thing for sure in life is change, right? So it's here. It's real.
But I think it's important to set a routine for yourselves every day so that you follow and you keep it up. And always to make a routine and, you know, like change with the times to make a new routine. It's good for your mental health.
And that's not all bad because, you know, it's like a baby in the womb, right? Change, you can't stay in the womb. It has to come out. Right.
And so our new routine is we're getting up earlier and you're going for a bike ride. I'm going for a walk. So we're doing some exercise first thing in the morning, which is good.
And when it rains, we do the stairs inside the condo. Right.
Yeah.
So some things we can do is get up earlier, prepare healthy meals, exercise more regularly. Now, because when you do exercise, It creates endorphins, it's serotonin.
It's good for your mental health.
Yeah, it's good for your mental health, right? Make it a goal to just stop and be in silence, right? And be thankful.
And also now that many of us are working from home, make sure you schedule time and allocate some time. There's work time, and separate that from your time for just family life and for, you know, like time to rest and time to, relax.
Because, you know, a lot of people don't drive to work anymore. So now, but I think some people find it that they work more. Right.
Right.
But the beauty is if you do work from home, there's a lot of flexibility, right? To say, okay, if I need to take care of some personal matters, I can do it. But then I will do the rest when I get home. Mm-hmm. Some of the things we can do in this new normal are minimize news feeds.
Yeah, we're inundated with lots of information about COVID. And, you know, continuously. And now with also the things that are going on in the U.S., you know, all this screen time and news feeds, it's too much, so limit it.
It can be desensitizing. Mm-hmm. What we can do is something very important is to pray more, right? You know, as mentioned in the beginning, we pray for world peace. And we continue to do that. You know, we continue to wash our hands, keep 6 feet apart, wear a mask, right? Social distancing. But that doesn't mean we can't be social with our friends, right? Social contact with our friends and our family is important. Just do it safely.
Yeah. And it's also important to always, you know, seek out the latest information at specific times of the day. Just don't overdo it.
Yeah. As mentioned before, be careful with screen time. Right, like a tablet, computer, TV. Right, mm-hmm. These things.
Shut it down at a certain time.
There's a time and a place, right, to do that. You know, as mentioned, social media can be very powerful. Why not listen to more programs on like Radio Maria? Mm-hmm. Why not listen to more, holy channels? Like download stuff. There's the website called Formed. Right. Yeah. Go into your parish. They have a website. Make sure you watch your parish mass. A lot of churches are online.
And also the seminary also introduced some beautiful reflections leading up to Pentecost on their website.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, be on the lookout for things like that.
You know, the things have changed and we have to, I'd say adjust. We need to grow with them, right? Just because it happened doesn't mean it's the end of the world. Because if we don't change, like in some way, we never grow as humans, right? We need to continue to, go to the next level, mm-hmm. right? Like Jesus in the Ascension, right? He went up. To meet the Lord, and that's what we, you know, that is our goal is
the
salvation and to meet Jesus at the gates, right, and hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, right? But to get there, we need to be proactive, right, and to do his work and his will, and
to help others, support.
Yeah, volunteering, you know, volunteering at your church, at your mm-hmm. hospital. You know, there's many things that we can do. Mm-hmm. I think the best thing to do to feel good is to help others, right?
Absolutely.
That'll boost, you know, your state of mind so fast mm-hmm. when you reach out, or even just a phone call, mm-hmm. right? You know, especially now, there's a lot of seniors that are home. Knock on their door.
Or even those that are live by themselves, reach out to them.
Make sure
that they're doing okay.
Ask them if they need groceries, if they need stuff. I think, you know, in this new normal, we consider it normal, and we sometimes forget that it still is very serious, right? And it's not over. So what we, you know, as they say, we're in this together. So you know, it's always good to reach out and, help those that, you know, may need a little bit of assistance. If not of assistance, just reach out and make a phone call just to say, you know, you love them. So on that note, we want to thank you so much for this evening and being part of, you know, a show on health matters in regards to our faith, where we started with the spirit.
Learning all about the Corpus Christi.
Corpus Christi, you know, and then we went to the body, physical, in regards to good, healthy eating. Mm-hmm. Our good friend Jane mentioned the Mediterranean diet. And from there, we, you know, spoke about what, you know, what were some of the foods that Jesus ate? And thirdly, the mental health, which is very important, right? And a big part of that, as we mentioned, is prayer. You know, we need time just to stop and, you know what, just listen. Because listening in itself is a prayer.
So we hope you got a little something out of today's show.
Yeah. And so, again, we thank, you know, everyone listening, hopefully coast to coast around the world. And, again, the faithful parishioners of All Saints. We thank you and we love you guys. And we thank you, Alex, who put this together, and all the people at Radio Maria.
And so we end with a prayer.
With a closing prayer, and it is called the Sanctity of Life. My God, we adore you here in the Blessed Sacrament. As we kneel before you, we recognize you as the creator of all life. We thank you and praise you for the lives you have given to us and to those we love. Give us a true and lasting respect for all people on this earth, especially for the unborn, those with special needs, and seniors.
We pray for all who have suffered or died as a result of disrespect, whether that is suffering and death has come as a result of abuse, war, gossip, or abortion. We pray to an end for all disrespect of life. We pray as we kneel before you, and we ask you to forgive all those who do not respect the sanctity of life. We repeat the words you spoke as you hung on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Good night, and God bless.
And thank you so much for being part of this wonderful hour of Jesus Reflections of Joy.
May the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. And may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you.
You have been listening to Jesus With Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.